Fundamentals Law of God Explained. Since the beginning, there has been a false grace teaching where people can do what they want or do what is right in their own eyes. Just like in the time of Moses, so it is in the time of Christ. Is today any different? There are some leaders who have blatantly ignored Jesus' teaching on the law of God. Jesus rebuked those in the early church who were led astray by the Nicolaitans, and those who, like Balaam, put a stumbling block before the children of God, Revelation 2-3. Even the characterization of the laws into dietary, moral, judicial, and ceremonial may seem helpful, but this isn't scriptural. It is the intention of this article to demonstrate from Jesus' own words and other scripture that the law of God is good and is still to be kept today, and that the old covenant that has been done away with does not include the laws of God. In short, the old covenant is how to get rid of sin and connecting with God, temple, sacrifices, feasts, Hebrews 9 verse 1. The only way to get to participate in the old covenant was through circumcision. It is not the laws of commandments that state what sin is. Sin is still sin, and that hasn't changed. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Matthew 5 verses 17 to 18. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23. "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire for their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God," Ezekiel 11 verses 19 to 21. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 19, the law mainly comprises of primarily two parts: commandments and ordinances, Luke 1 verse 6. Commandments have the purpose of showing what is good and acceptable to God, thereby identifying sin, Romans 3 verse 20, 1 John 3 verse 4. These have been around since the tree of good and evil. It was inherent that people knew them, even a non-believer, Abimelech, in the time of Abraham knew that adultery was wrong and a sin, Genesis 20 verses 6 to 9. Another example is God talking with Isaiah. The reason Abraham received the promise from God was, as he said, "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws," Genesis 26 verse 5. How did Abraham know what they were? Obviously, the commandments were prior to Moses. This was before the law was repeated to Moses. The people had lost this because they were in sinful Egypt for so long. Ordinances have the purpose of bringing people into covenant with God, circumcision, Exodus 12 verse 48, showing how to connect with God, through priests, feasts, payment for sin, Ephesians 2 verse 15, and cover the sin, sacrifices, Galatians 3 verse 1. Basically, everything related to the temple. This was the tutor to bring us to Christ, Galatians 3 verses 24 to 25. This was a temporary method until God made the plan to reconcile mankind to him. Thus a new covenant was established through the Messiah, Deuteronomy 18 verses 18 to 19. Why do so many Christians forsake the law of God? Is it because of Galatians 3? Did Galatians 3 really do away with the law, or is it only talking about justification by the law, circumcision, sacrifices, and temple? Some people ignore Jesus' words in order to follow Paul's words, thinking that Paul contradicts Jesus. He didn't. Some believe Paul spoke from a new covenant, but Jesus did not. They ignore Jesus' words when he says, after his resurrection, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you," Matthew 28 verse 20. Why? It is the deception of Satan to keep the people of God bound in their sin? getting people to be free to do whatever they want versus whatever God wants, Deuteronomy 12 verse 8, 13, 18, isn't that the pure definition of pride and how Lucifer fell, Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 15? All the great men of God tried to keep God's commandments, and when they fell, they instantly repented, didn't debate. God said of David, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Acts 13 verse 22. Notice God didn't say he will always do my will, but do all my will. Nor did God say David would not sin. David still received the consequences for his sin, like God killing David's child. David accepted the consequence as a result of his disobedience. He wasn't angry with God, but with himself, and appealed to God's mercy through fasting, 2 Samuel 12:15-23. His primary focus was not doing whatever he wanted, but whatever God wanted. No wonder he was a man after God's heart. New covenant isn't any different, except instead of us trying on our own, God has given us himself to help us live righteously. Jesus makes us righteous, but we walk out his righteousness. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, 1 John 3 verse 7. John had the same issue in his day. Look at the word practice. It is works, but the works are a result of a saved life, Ephesians 2 verse 10. The works show our heart and our love for him, 1 John 5 verses 2 to 3, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 19, John 15 verse 10. Jesus himself also raised the standard of the law to our thought life, the motivation for our actions. He never lowered it. The good news is that he gave us Holy Spirit. Therefore, keeping God's commandments is done automatically through a surrendered heart to Holy Spirit. It is the base expectation, Ezekiel 36 verses 26 to 27. And our assignment is to spread the good news that God sent Jesus to reconcile people to him. True Doctrine 1. Adhering to the law of commandments is actually loving God back, and not burdensome. It is love in action, John 15 verses 9 to 10, 1 John 5 verses 2 to 3. 2. Doing the law of ordinance cannot make one righteous, sacrifices, temple, priests, festivals, payment, only Christ does, Galatians 3 verses 1 to 2. 3. The law of God reveals the heart, either it is a slave of sin or slave of righteousness, Romans 6 verses 15 to 18. 4. Keeping the commandments is important, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 19. 5. Ignoring that law of God is self-reliance, self-righteousness, rebellion, Romans 8 verse 7, as it is doing what is right in their own eyes, 1 John 3 verses 4 to 9. 6. The law of liberty in Christ, James 1 verse 25, is the ability to keep the law of God automatically through the power of Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2 verse 10, Ezekiel 11 verses 19 to 21. 7. Hatred towards God's law and calling his law names resists the Holy Spirit as it is going against him, Ezekiel 36 verses 26 to 27, and they become enemies of God, Romans 8 verses 6 to 10, James 4 verse 4. 8. Teaching against commandments results in believers being least in the kingdom of God, Matthew 5 verse 19. 9. The working of God's power in a person's life is second to living God's laws, Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23. 10. Eternal consequences exist for all believers who break the law of God, Galatians 5 verses 19 to 21, 1 Corinthians 6 verses 8 to 10, Matthew 5 verse 19, Luke 12 verses 47 to 48. Generally speaking, there are four things believers who fear and love God do that others don't. Keep Sabbath on the seventh day, eat what God says to eat, refrain from participate in demonic activities and eating things sacrificed to idols. False statement in 1 Timothy 1 verses 8 to 9, but we know that the law is good, if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Therefore, we are good because we are believers who don't need the law of God. Response: Paul used the law many times to point out people's sin, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 36, Galatians 5 verses 19 to 21, 1 Corinthians 6 verses 8 to 10, etc., deeds of the flesh is going against the law and thus going against God, Romans 7:25-8:7. 1 Timothy 1 verses 8 to 9 is no different. Paul is pointing out that believers should be doing the law as it is already inside them. The law is used for correction, reproof, etc., 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. But there are many believers who resist the law of God and thereby act unrighteously, 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1, 1 John 3 verses 4 to 9, James 4 verse 4. Commentary on John 8: Did Jesus break God's law in John 8 because he didn't stone the woman caught in adultery? Didn't he act contrary to the law because she should have been stoned? And in the Old Covenant, those people who did the stoning weren't sinless. If they were, then no one would have been stoned. So what is Yeshua referring to that they would have understood? Yeshua is not referring to all sin, but the sin with regards to being a witness. They would have known this. Yeshua didn't disagree with them regarding the consequences of the adultery, because one of the ways to get rid of sin is to kill the person. He was calling them out for their hypocrisy of being false witnesses. He challenged them, "He who meets the conditions, those who are without sin pertaining to being witnesses, should throw the first stone." If the person who throws the stone is found out to be a false witness, then that false witness would be stoned. For what harm they meant for another would come on them, Deuteronomy 19 verses 16 to 19. Therefore, the following conditions were to be met before stoning could occur: 1. Two reliable witnesses, Exodus 20 verse 16, Deuteronomy 17 verse 6. Did they have two? 2. Did they take a bribe, Deuteronomy 27 verse 25? If not, why did they only bring the woman and not the man? Did the man pay them off? Both parties are responsible and both would need to be put to death, Leviticus 20 verse 10, Deuteronomy 22 verse 22. Thus, they were guilty for being false witnesses and would be the ones to be stoned. Therefore, they snuck away quietly so they weren't accused of being false witnesses. The condition for being a witness is not sinless, but someone who is a reliable witness, which they weren't. Yeshua said, "Not one accused her," John 8 verse 10, because they were all false witnesses, therefore she could not be stoned. Yeshua did not break the law. If he had, he would have sinned, and we all know that he did not sin, 1 Peter 2 verse 22, 1 John 3 verses 4 to 9. Side note, the unreliable critical text that most modern translations use don't have the woman caught in adultery in the source text. In summary, the laws of God are good. Do we do what is right in our own eyes or in the eyes of our Heavenly Father? The laws of God comprise of two main parts, law of commandments and law of ordinances. The law of ordinances were placed into the side of the Ark of the Covenant. The commandments were placed into the Ark. Yeshua replaced the ordinances in himself, and he enabled us to keep the commandments through Holy Spirit. Consequences: there are many examples where God judges the wicked, like Paul cursing a man to go blind. Even Christians are judged, like Paul handing a man over to Satan because of sexual immorality, or Yeshua going to cast Jezebel, a prophetess, into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation and kill her children, or God killing Ananias and Sapphira for lying to Holy Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Conclusion: as we minister the good news of Christ, we are to abide in Yeshua and walk even as he walked, so be holy. In so doing, we establish the law, we don't ignore it. We fear God. This is the patience of the saints, Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Laws of God are holy. God's laws are holy and good. Summary of the law, Yeshua reiterated, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Meaning this is the foundation, the intent of the laws. Ten commandments and other laws show us how to do it. Ten commandments. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. 1. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. 2. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. 4. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. 5. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. 6. Thou shalt not murder. 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. 8. Thou shalt not steal. 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Yeshua added a commandment, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Yeshua raised the standard. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Pray, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly, and don't use vain repetitions. Fast, when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Forgive mankind their trespasses, if you don't neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do not lay up treasures on earth, but in heaven. Do this by giving to the poor, especially to believers in need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, take in strangers, clothe the naked, visit the sick and those in prison. Gather with believers and partake of the Lord's Supper in the remembrance of what Yeshua did and received from him. Go ye therefore, and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now to whomever we are called, proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and that Yeshua is the only way to enter. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons freely you have received, freely give. Early church reminded us, do not to eat things sacrificed unto idols, or blood, or things strangled, but eat what God calls food, and not what we call food. Eat what he created to be received with thanksgiving, no pork, shellfish, snakes, etc. Do not commit fornication. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine.